possibly safe. What if it could show even through the west?
I sometimes feel that I am impersonating the dark subconscious of the whole human race.
Oh, we are with you. I apologize. We have some technical difficulties there. I'm glad you joined us, but do apologize. Take your shoes off, cozy on up in the pew, and don't mind that girl screaming up there at the altar. You won't hear her much longer. You just heard Down, the band from New Orleans, Louisiana. The song was Eyes of the South off the 1995 self-titled album. They are actually going into the studio currently recording their new album, updated via Facebook today. Their vocalist, Philip Anselmo, former singer for Pantera, began laying down the vocal tracks today. So very much looking forward to the new release from that band. Going to get my plugs out of the way real quick here. Deep Southern Championship Wrestling in Blue Ridge, Georgia, tomorrow night or tonight, however you look at it. I haven't gone to bed yet, but it will regardless be November the 5th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Blue Ridge, Georgia, at Fannin County High School, a benefit for the Empty Stocking Fund. I will be there reuniting with the Temptation, Shawn Tempers, for one night only. NWA Anarchy returns November the 11th to Cornelia, Georgia, 8 o'clock p.m. national television taping. The Big Falls Count Anywhere match there with me managing the Hate Junkies against the Urban Assault Squad of Shadow Jackson and Nemesis. And then on Friday night, November the 18th at 8 o'clock p.m. in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, NWA Chattanooga returns to Soddy Daisy Middle School. Find out more info at nwachattanooga.com. I will be there with the Deadly Sin 7 against the Strong Style Psycho Tank for the NWA Southeastern Heavyweight Championship. Should be one hell of a fight. On to the music news. Of course, I had a little technical difficulties at the beginning of the program. We do apologize, but you never know what's going to happen when you're live. I failed to introduce myself. This is the Devil You Know, the maniacal minister of the occult, the Reverend, and you are here live on the Midnight Black Mass. But on to the music news. Big release for Megadeth, thrash metal icons led by Dave Mustaine. Big first album with the return of former bassist David Ellison, who was obviously one of the fan favorite bassists if you followed Megadeth's career at all over the years. Him and Dave Mustaine had a nasty falling out, but now they are back together. And this new album, 13, making a lot of waves. my good buddy David Pierce called it the Dr. Feelgood of Megadeth, which is not an insult, but to say it might be a little more accessible than some of the earlier material. But he was really enjoying it, and what I have heard, I have enjoyed as well. Coming up also tonight or tomorrow night, November the 5th, in Atlanta, Georgia, a former guest we've had here on the Midnight Black Mass, Unknown Henson, the King of Country and Western Troubadours, will be appearing live and performing a set at the Earl. You want to make sure to get down there and get your tickets. You can find out more info about that at unknownhenson.com. Henson, of course, the voice of the lead character, Early Kyler, on the Adult Swim series Squidbillies, which does take place actually in Northeast Georgia. So very familiar territory for the King of Country Western Troubadours, and here appropriate for GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. I'm also want to talk about Guns N' Roses this past Tuesday in Atlanta, Georgia. And, of course, there's a lot of controversy with this band even calling themselves Guns N' Roses, but it is Axl Rose, current keyboard player Dizzy Reed, who was with the band back in the heyday, and those are the only members of the last what people remember as Guns N' Roses, so to speak. No Slash, no Duff McKagan, no Izzy Stradlin, no Matt Sorum. They all went on to form Velvet Revolver, but let me tell you, folks, the reviews are coming in. You know Axl Rose has went out and hired a group of studio hands are the best musicians he can find. So I had no doubt that the show was going to be tremendous. And coming in from my mentor, a man whose opinion I will always trust when it comes to a live concert, Mr. Jeff G. Bailey said it's one of the best concerts of his life. And let me tell you, Jeff G. Bailey has seen more concerts than anybody you've ever met put together. I can promise you that. We're going to hope to have him on in future weeks. Of course, to talk about his wrestling career, because he's gained quite a cult following as one of the best managers in the last decade in all of professional wrestling. But also, Jeff G. Bailey has a tremendous history with live events, concerts that he has been involved in and seen and done a lot more with. So we're going to hope to have him on the show to talk about that. But on for music, and move into comic book news before we get to the Muji Movie Minute coming up here later tonight. And, of course, our special guest, want to plug that real quick, will be one half of the Hate Junkies, my boy Strychnine, one of the Rev's disciples, but also a dyed-in-the-wool juggalo. I think he probably has some official ranking within their crazy army, but we're going to be talking about the huge headline news this week that the FBI had classified juggalos who are fans of the Insane Clown Posse as a gang. So there's a whole lot to get into about that. Into the comic book news, I just want to give you a few recommendations. DC Comics New 52 is really rolling strong. They've done a really great job with this relaunch and placing things in different directions and also kind of wiping the slates clean in some cases. I would recommend The Flash. I would recommend Aquaman, Demon Knights, Stormwatch, Batman Detective Comics, and Batman Dark Knight, all tremendous comics. And on the Marvel side, my recommendations this week are going to be Punisher Max, written by Birmingham, Alabama's Jason Aaron, who I'm going to try to get on the show at some point, Deadpool, and Amazing Spider-Man, along with the new relaunched Uncanny X-Men and the X-Men Regenesis saga, as well as Wolverine and the X-Men, also written by Jason Aaron. So lots of good recommendations, friends. If you're into comic books, go out and pick those up if you haven't, because those are the hot titles this week. And, of course, on the independent side, I mentioned it last week, but cannot talk enough about The Walking Dead and the great stories that that book tells and is still telling, despite its mass media franchise blowing up from just a little small independent comic. That's what we'd love to see here on the Midnight Black Mass. I'm going to be getting to the Moogie Movie Minute here in just a couple of moments, but next I want to talk about some television. I just have one recommendation because you've heard me blab on about various shows last week as far as my recommendations went, but this week I'm going to go with American Horror Story on FX. Stars Dylan McDermott. Also has appearances by Dennis O'Hare, who played Russell Edgington on True Blood. Amazing actor. This guy did things as a villain, as Russell Edgington, that television or film hasn't seen in many years, as far as what we in the wrestling business call getting that heat. And he absolutely did that, and is now doing it as well, although being a different role, as sort of a two-faced type of guy whose half of his body has been all burned off in this American Horror Story. But, you know, he's an appearing character. This has just got all kinds of crazy supernatural coming in from one side to the other. I give it a very high recommendation. I don't know how long on a network television style format they're going to be able to keep that going, because you can always see already that they're giving away a lot of big secrets. So, and me and Moogie have talked about this in the past, and may again in a moment here in the Moogie Movie Minute. But American Horror Story going strong so far. It has been renewed for a second season. So we're going to check that out, and I will hope you do the same. Coming up here in just a moment is the Moogie Movie Minute. Going to play a little tunes for you right after we pay some bills.
You're listening to the GWH Radio Network, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your show will return momentarily. Did you know that there's more to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com than just Georgia Wrestling History? It's true. Not only can you find documented cards, results, and more on pro wrestling in Georgia dating back to the 19th century, but you can also find out where live and local wrestling may be near you today, and not just in Georgia. We also cover the southeastern regional scene in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. You want more? Well, we also cover the major worldwide wrestling and MMA promotions as well, including WWE, UFC, TNA, Strikeforce, Ring of Honor, and more. And so do our radio shows. You can find all of this, and maybe a bit more, by logging on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we are capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
She's a lady, 100%. Austrian, Western transvestite whore. Transvestite whore.
Enjoyable. Like I said, they set a lot of the scares just by the atmosphere.
They did, and a lot of kills in that, a lot of gory vampire kills, which is, you know, for 1972, pretty big rarity. Even, you know, when they killed the two kids there, of course, they're again in the 70s, not so much PC paranoia as there is today. I don't know how much you can get away with that even today, but it was ahead of its time in many ways, and as you said, plenty of breasts, which we're always a fan of that here on the Midnight Black Mass.
Yes, yes, and they were hot, a lot of hot European chicks too, so it had that going for it. And then the second main one that we checked out this week was The Reanimator from 1985. I'm kind of a cult classic for horror fans. We'd actually never seen it until we checked it out, and it was certainly enjoyable. It was definitely not, you know, it wasn't a serious movie. I think its whole idea was it was intentionally campy, and it had just a lot of different things going on in it. The basic gimmick on it is your main character is a medical student, and he's kind of like the hotshot young doctor, and then he gets a new roommate that is just a crazy guy that's also in his medical class, and turns out his roommate has been passed down this, what looked like the ooze from Ninja Turtles that he's able to reanimate corpses with. And the whole movie basically plays off of that. He's able to reanimate all these corpses, but when they come back to life, they're not like humans. I guess they're zombie-like, but they're just crazy. They're rabid. So the one guy's trying to perfect his formula, and has kind of no problem like killing stuff to like practice on it, because he just thinks he's going to get it right, so he doesn't really look at it like he's hurting anybody, and that's where some of the humor comes in. But it was certainly enjoyable. I mean, that's in 1985. I mean, there had obviously been campy kind of movies before then, but it was one of the first like effective campy, meant to be funny horror movies.
You know, and I'd heard a lot about Reanimator over the years. A very big within the heavy metal community. You always see guys in death metal bands wearing Reanimator t-shirts. It was just honestly a flick I never got around to seeing. I saw many sequels. I saw everything, out in the video store, on Netflix, what have you. I said, you know what, damn it, enough is enough. We're going to check this out. And man alive, got to be a new favorite just for the entertainment value it brought. It's not incredibly serious, but a classic mad scientist tale. And the Jim Cornette-ish Herbert West character, who drives the story, the man who invented the reanimation serum, is just tremendous throughout the whole entire film. And, of course, as I've done a little research and found that he actually has gained a cult following just by being that character, and still makes a living on cons like many of the great horror stars do.
Of course.
But yeah, Reanimator, top notch.
Yeah, of course. I enjoyed it. It's based off of H.P. Lovecraft story, which a ton of his stories have been turned into movies. I think this was pretty loose. I don't think his story was quite so funny, but it was definitely entertaining. Like I said, it's totally different. It wasn't meant to be scary, but it was good. When you're going to go about making like a horror movie that's not, particularly scary, that's really made for fans of the genre, like a comedy, within the genre, then there's certain things you need to do, and they kind of did all the things in this. I mean, when they did have gore, the gore was still really good. The kills were still, they were still realistic. They didn't cheese it up and just have stupid looking, kills, which a lot of movies that try to be funny horror movies do. The story was still, fine. It was, they could have done the same story and taken it in more of like a scary way, but they decided not to. They didn't really, and all the actors were, good in it. The doctor, there's a doctor in the movie who's over the medical team there at the school. And he's kind of the bad guy. He decides he's going to take this reanimator formula for himself. And, he plays a good, straight, creepy guy until, it's time for him to, start being funny. And it's good, and even though it's funny, it's got plenty of creepy scenes. I mean, it's still creepy. It's so old, I don't feel bad about spoiling anything in it. But one of the big scenes is, like, the doctor, he gets his head cut off. but he gets the reanimator formula used on him, so he's walking around carrying his own head. His head and his body's alive, and then he kidnaps the main guy's girlfriend and, like, tries to get with her by, like, taking his own head that's not attached to his body and just moving it around her body and kiss on her and stuff, which is still totally creepy. It's funny in a way. You're gonna have
rolling in the fucking floor, man. I mean, that part alone, that scene, just had me, just my mouth was agape at what they were trying to do there and the fact that it came across so effectively and somehow was still absolutely motherfucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was hilarious. For someone who's like a huge fan of horror movies, that part right there, you know, I mean, you understand that, you know, it's supposed to be funny and it's hilarious, but I could totally see somebody who isn't like a huge fan of the genre that pops it on, that would actually probably, you know, be scary or creepy to them, you know, so it would be effective either way. So I thought it was really good. I mean, it definitely goes, you know, with, in a pretty big category with, you know, Evil Dead, Shaun of the Dead, you know, and it's got to be one of the top five or so, you know, horror comedies that, you know, I've definitely ever seen. So I went with 74% well done on that. I thought it was definitely excellent.
That's a great rating, 74% well done for Reanimator. Two great picks this week. And do you have anything in mind for next week already?
Don't have anything in particular. I think I'm just going to probably cruise the flicks. So maybe we'll go with like one classic and then just, you know, take a shot in the dark on just something completely random. We haven't really taken a
great
chance. Yeah,
Robert
we haven't taken
Everett,
a chance on
guest.
Looks bad.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Everett, a former guest here on the Midnight Black Mass, also a former bassist with G.G. Allin, he's given us a long list of recommendations, fan, and this guy is one of the most seasoned horror vets I know as far as knowing his stuff. So we're very excited to get into some of those picks as well, as he's done us pretty right so far on the Moody Movie Minute. But, brother, our time is up. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
All right, see you later.
All right, Muji. And that was the Muji Movie Minute, fans. And we're going to get to our guest, Strychnine, here in just a moment. Unfortunately, as you heard earlier at the beginning of the episode, we had just a little bit of technical difficulties. So due to that, we're actually going to skip the seance. We will leave the spirits of the dead at rest for tonight. And we will reschedule that for next week, and I will summon them. And I do apologize for that, but as I said before, you never know what's going to happen when you're live. Going to go to some tunes, going to pay some bills one more time, and we'll be back with your featured guests.
Up in smoke, that's where my money goes. In my lungs. Sometimes up my nose, when troubled times begin to bother me, I take a token on my cares, go up in smoke, up in smoke. Time's up my nose. When troubles begin to bother me, I take a token on my cares, go up and smoke.
You got the fucking craziest goddamn answer machine ever. What's up, bro? It's Frank. I got a little something for you. Check it out.
My lawn. troubles I begin to bother me. I take a token and all my cares go up in smoke.
You're listening to the GWH Radio Network, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your show will return momentarily. Did you know that there's more to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com than just Georgia Wrestling History? It's true. Not only can you find documented cards, results, and more on pro wrestling in Georgia dating back to the 19th century, but you can also find out where live and local wrestling may be near you today, and not just in Georgia. We also cover the southeastern regional scene in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. You want more? Well, we also cover the major worldwide wrestling and MMA promotions as well, including WWE, UFC, TNA, Strikeforce, Ring of Honor, and more. And so do our radio shows. You can find all of this, and maybe a bit more, by logging on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we are capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. You're listening to the GWH Radio Network, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your show will return momentarily. Did you know that there's more to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com than just Georgia Wrestling History? It's true. Not only can you find documented cards, results, and more on pro wrestling in Georgia dating back to the 19th century, but you can also find out where live and local wrestling may be near you today, and not just in Georgia. We also cover the southeastern regional scene in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. You want more? Well, we also cover the major worldwide wrestling and MMA promotions as well, including WWE, UFC, TNA, Strikeforce, Ring of Honor, and more. And so do our radio shows. You can find all of this, and maybe a bit more, by logging on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we are capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, we're back. I do apologize. I've tried Strict Knight a few times. Don't know what's happened with him, but does not look like we have one half of the Hate Junkies here on the air. So the Reverend will continue with you. Well, you just heard the classic horror theme to The Exorcist, one of the finest themes ever recorded for horror films. Also, just go back to my plugs. Deep Southern Championship Wrestling tonight or tomorrow night, whatever you want to slice it, but it'll be November the 5th at 7 o'clock p.m. in Blue Ridge, Georgia. And wait a minute, here he is, better late than never. I thought I'd lost you, boy. Can you hear me or not? Yeah, there you are.
What's going
Welcome
on?
Welcome to the Midnight Black Mass, my brother.
What's going on? I'm here.
I see. You made it somehow. tell us what's going on in your world these days. I know it's your birthday, so happy birthday to you, first and foremost, everybody, from everybody here at the Midnight Black Mass.
Thank you very much. I'm sitting here with Hefe, our tech guy, and fucking Jeremy Vane bullshitting about everything. And, yeah.
Okay, that's who's yelling in the background.
Yep. Tell that motherfucker to shut the fuck up. You're on speaker, so you heard you.
I'll leave. Bust it.
All right. But yeah, so what's the discussion at hand? How are we going to start this off?
Well, the main reason I wanted you on the show was actually to talk about this big news making the rounds all across the country, on all mainstream outlets even, that the Federal Bureau of Investigation has classified Juggalos, who, for you who don't know what that is a fan of the Insane Clown Posse, as gangs, potential terrorists, and I know you are close to that camp. You've been on the gathering of the Juggalos many times. You performed for their Juggalo Championship Wrestling, and you are a Juggalo yourself. So what are your thoughts on that? Does that just blow your mind or what?
It completely fucks with me because I'm trying to figure out where the criteria for this came from. I mean, I knew that the military considered it a gang, but I didn't know it had reached far up as the FBI. Because really, I'm trying, my mind question being is, why in the fuck is the FBI paying attention to Juggalos anyway? I mean, don't they have a lot more important shit going on? They are the fucking FBI. But the second being is, I guess they're just kind of going off some stereotype they heard somewhere, or maybe you had assorted people involved in crime that happen to have a hatchet man tattoo or something, to figure that this was some kind of gang or terrorist organization. I still haven't figured out where all of this shit came from. That's my biggest question.
Yeah, and I agree with you. You know, we've had our discussions, and you know, I did think Clown Posse is funny to me. Like, they're humorous. It's just not something I'm really into, but certainly they've built a hell of a following, and I know you're a big supporter of that, but it seems like a colossal fucking waste of taxpayer dollars at a time when the government is poor-mouthing more than ever about things like, you know, not having enough money to cover the budget for this, to cover the budget for that. They're cutting teachers' salaries. Well, you really want to cut the salaries of the people who educate your children? And you know, as far as that goes, so you're wasting taxpayer dollars on chasing down a group of people who are, from my estimation, just a bunch of partiers. It's like deadheads or anything else, you know, anything in the realm of music where you have a devoted following. They like to get together. Yeah, they'll probably like to get fucked up, but they do it on a big farm where they're not hurting anybody. Strychnine, actually, is what they call straight edge. And so, you know, he doesn't even partake in any type of drugs or alcohol or, you know, any type of harmful substance to his body. So, you know, the worst thing that he's going to go out and do is fuck your girlfriend. And, well, then you should keep a better eye on her if that's the case.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
But, yeah, because it all started, really, the whole gang thing out in California. Apparently, the crime commission out there, they were the ones who initially put Juggalos in the gang. Of course, they also qualify straight edge as a gang, because apparently kids that don't drink or smoke are going to kick your ass, I guess. But the biggest thing I would like to figure out, there's two things I want to know about the whole situation. A, where did this come from? And B, I wonder what the backlash is going to be. Like, I've been screwed with by the police before anyway, because I have a large sticker on the back of my car, and they've told me that it was considered a gang. But I wonder if now that it's official, are they going to actually be able to do more about it? Like, you know, take you in or any of that other crap. I'm not sure how that works, because I know they deal with regular gang members pretty hostily, because, I mean, you know, it's obvious these organizations are for the purpose of gathering to commit crime. I'm not sure if at this point jugglers can be treated that way. And I just don't know where this is going. That's my – I'm trying to figure out, because I only – apparently got, you know – my mom called me because she had seen it on the news. So it's come to a very pretty big point in the media at this point. And again, I have no idea where it's going to go from here, but it's complete bullshit. And it kind of just proves to me how bored the FBI must be, because I guess we're doing so great as a country, we have time to sweat the small shit. So,
oh, yeah, we're bankrupt, you know, Wall Street's collapsing. Let's go after the fucking Juggalos. They're the source of all of this nonsense.
Yeah, apparently we're as big of a threat as Janet Jackson's fucking titty a couple years ago. That whole fucking conundrum.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder, though, you know, the gathering is a big event, and you guys travel up there every year to meet and convene and fuck each other and do whatever it is you do. But, you know, I got to wonder if there's going to be a lot of backlash there, because that's a publicized thing. They know that's where you guys are going to be getting together. And, you know, it's weird. I don't even think that they can do anything to you for wearing gang colors, because, I mean, you know, sometimes you just wear a red shirt. That don't mean you're a Blood, or vice versa. If you're wearing a blue shirt, don't mean you're a Crip. So, you know, you can't really police that. But I do, you know, in some cases, if you're on probation or you have some sort of relationship where the law is monitoring you, then, you know, anything that might be construed as that could be a violation of your probation, and that's a whole other slippery slope, too.
Yeah, I was wondering about how the gathering is, too, because, I mean, like, again, it's not an underground thing. It's very publicized. I mean, hell, they made a fucking DVD of it the other year, and they were shooting a documentary this past year that I'm going to be on, I guess. They filmed me and had me sign shit. So, but yeah, I mean, if they're considered, if jugglers are considered a threat, wouldn't it, if they're actually going to do something about it or whatever, I'd figure they'd be a good place, because, I mean, I think last year was in and around 10,000-ish people. So, and usually how it runs is the guy that owns Hog Rock Campground, I guess he has something going on with the local police where they pretty much just stay out. They post up at the entrance to the campground, but you will not see police officer one on the grounds. So I'm not sure how that's going to change. Or, I mean, I think... this might be one of those things that in time may blow over, but of course our government's not the world's greatest at admitting they made a mistake and taking it back. I think, I don't know, the last time they actually did that shit was segregation, and they haven't done it since. Fucked up.
So a lot of people still waiting on marijuana to be legalized. I thought that was going to happen 30 years ago, and, you know, still ain't happened.
Yeah.
A harmless little plant does nothing to anybody but makes them hungry and, you know, want to eat potato chips and sleep. But, you know,
yeah,
it's going to get people locked in prison, and we're going to have to spend the taxpayer dollars to put them up.
Yeah, I want to go on record as an adamant straight edge saying that there is no fuck reason that shit should be illegal. None at all. So, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty absurd. But, you know, we can talk about politics all day. I know you have your own fan following, man. You have impressed me so much. Just let's get into the wrestling side. As a wrestler over the years, I saw you break in from just a little weird fan in the front row, painted up like Mudvayne, to a guy who came into the locker room and grew on his own and took a lot of shit from a lot of guys, honestly, because, you know, you, like me and a lot of people that I get along with, you march to the beat of your own motherfucking drummer. Strychnine is Strychnine 24/7. He's the only guy that wears his gear wherever he goes, because there's no difference between Strychnine the wrestler and Strychnine the guy walking around on the street.
Yeah, there's pretty much no off button in the grand scheme of the world. You know, they always say, talk about wrestling is, you know, the best, most genuine characters of your own personality turn up to 11. Well, I mean, if I'm already turned up to 9, turning it up to 11 really isn't that much of a stretch. So, but yeah, it was interesting breaking into the fucking business. You know, friend of a friend helped me get started, but, you know, I caught shit here or there because, you know, way back when I didn't have a gear bag, or I'd show up 3/4 of the way dressed because that's just how I dress. And, you know, apparently over the course of the years, I guess, I mean, my name seemed to put a bad taste in people's mouth, and I garnered a reputation that I'm not sure if I deserved or didn't deserve, but over the course of time, I would like to think that anyone who had odd thoughts of me, I hope I've proven them wrong with actions rather than words. So, hopefully I've done that.
Yeah, I would say that you have, man. I really would. You know, you're one half of the Hate Junkies with Denny Only, one of the top teams in the state of Georgia and around the Southeast. You guys have gotten a lot of momentum, and you guys have really gelled as a team, and I'm proud to represent you down at NWA Anarchy, where on November the 11th, we come in with a big Falls Count Anywhere match with Urban Assault Squad. That's a long time coming, so looking forward to going to war with you there, my brother. But you've come
Falls Count Anywhere in that building, that is our specialty. So, yeah, Jeff Go Blue never came back. Andy Anderson never, or Alexander, whatever the hell his name is, he never came back. So it's, I guess, not exactly the world's best place to, or best situation to have to fucking go against the junkies. So what are you going to do?
That's right, and there ain't even no rules if they decide to pull their dirty street tactics that they're known to do. I'll be right there with the staff of righteousness to cleanse their unclean souls.
Yeah, we'll be the studio gangster assault squad, whatever the hell we want to. I mean, in the grand scheme of the world, you got some, you know, rap music and some bad clothes to cover up the fact that there are two guys who used to be a force to be reckoned with. Now they, you know, kiss hands and shake babies and all that good bullshit. So our whole point is to go, hey, fuck you, you lost your edge, we're the new boys in town.
And that's really the only stumbling block you have left, in my opinion, to submit yourselves as the team on the block here in the state of Georgia, is to go through the Urban Assault Squad, and I do believe that's going to happen November 11th at NWA Anarchy. Into the philosophies of professional wrestling, do you prefer, you know, I see you do a lot of singles versus tags. You kind of have your own thing going on over at APW. I had a big match with Anthony Henry in the cage that got rave reviews. You know, where is it, you still fully focused on the Hate Junkies? Are you looking to do more singles, or is it just whatever, you taking what you're going to get?
Well, basically how it works is, me and Danny do our own thing on Friday, and every other booking we take or everything else we do, we're fully focused on the junkies. It's Friday, we do our own things, because APW here is closer to where I live, Platinum is closer to where he lives, and, you know, it's a lot more convenient. You know, we had done the tag thing for so long, our singles game had kind of, so We get the best of both worlds. We get to focus on being ourselves, and then, of course, we, at any other time, hone the junkies into the juggernaut that they have become. So, I mean, it's one of those things, like, when we got hooked up, I the person who said, you know, we should be a team, my answer was, do you realize how terrible of a tag team wrestler I am? And but that was the reason I felt I should do it, because I wasn't good at it, so that's why I need to get good at it, because if you're in this wrestling game, you need to be good at everything that may come your way. So, that's our...
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I think you guys have you said you come a long way and you are a juggernaut now, but I think that's a smart move in terms of just being a tag team, in terms of taking that one day away from each other, because you've heard the stories of many great tag teams spend a lot of time on the road with one another, and after a while they grow to be irritated, and then they grow to really dislike, and then they grow to hate each other just because they've been forced to be together for so long.
Well, it's exactly the opposite with Mr. Only and myself, because when we got put together, we didn't really pick each other as being our partners here. It was decided by the bookers here at APW. You know, we had a similar look, and whenever, like, you know, put you two together, and neither of us had anything going on, so we're like, yeah, fuck it, why not? But on a personal level, he, for some odd reason, just there was something about him that completely twisted me the wrong way, and vice versa. Something about me he just didn't like. We didn't argue or anything, but we just weren't friends. We would show up to do our match, and we're like, hey, see ya, bye, good match, yeah. And that was the extent of it. And over time, it's interesting, because like I said, it worked completely backwards. Now Only is like my brother. He's one of those guys that when I really just mean, when real shit goes down, I know I can talk to him, and I know I can depend on him. And I hope that never fucking changes, because, I mean, right now it's us against the world. You know, you're leading us into battle, Holy Gun Cornelia, and we've done some different stuff in different states where Bailey's leading us into battle and whatever. But for the most part, it's us against whoever they put in the ring with us. And like I said, we're doing a pretty good dealio at it, but at the same time, neither of us needs to let our single game go stagnant either. So that's an interviewer asked me where I think I'd be in 5 years. I mean, I could still definitely see the Junkies for a long time, because the industry is starved for our type of team.
It's starved for a team, period, but that's a whole other rant. You know, tag team wrestling is just falling by the wayside, and it's unfortunate because it's one of my favorite portions of the art form of professional wrestling. Always been a fan of tag team wrestling. Always excelled managing tag teams because I seem to have a better handle on that philosophy in some cases, in my opinion. I really feel like I'm kind of an expert in the managerial field in the tag team side of things, and I don't say that a lot, but, you know, just the teams that I've worked with will probably tell you that would speak the truth, because I've just been obsessed with it my entire life, and real ashamed that there's no great tag teams out there, but damn proud of you guys for stepping up to the plate and becoming that. Any wrestling dates you want to plug or get out of the way? You just said you were at APW. Any recap of what you did tonight there?
Tonight I beat the fuck out of Chris Spectra in about 8 minutes. Hit him with a spear, my finisher, and he kind of hobbled away. And in quite possibly the absolute oddest main event we've ever fucking had here, I tagged with Anthony Henry, who I've been basically attempting to kill him for 6 months. And his partner didn't show up, and I, as much as I do not like Anthony Henry, I decided, you know, I'm not through beating people's asses, and if I have to get along with this guy for a few minutes to beat more ass, then that's what I'm going to do. And he ended up completely fucking the pooch, and we lost, and he got pinned because he sucks. But what are you going to do? Tomorrow, the Junkies are going to be tearing people's asses in half at TNT up in the mountains. At the Raven County, it's the Georgia Mountain Flea Market, way the fuck up in the, you know, about 40 miles north of Cornelia. And we have not, ever since we showed up, it's basically been a reign of terror, because no one's beaten either one of us. And last time I was up there, I fucked C.B. Gibson up pretty bad. Just, I mean, pretty boys annoy me. You know, the kind of attitude is where you're like, I'm a good guy that does good things because it's the right thing to do. That just kind of makes me throw up a little bit in my mouth. And so I think other people sympathize with it because as nasty of bastards as we are, there are some people that are completely behind it because I think that makes them throw up too. So, yeah, we're going to be fucking tearing somebody in half up there, whoever it is. Every now and then I have a really, really fucking bad day, and then there's some poor unfortunate bastard who decided to show up. And whoever he is, he's the one who laced up his boots and decided, they're going to go wrestle, so I'm just going to fuck his day up.
Well, there you have it, folks. Strychnine's philosophies on his pre-match warm-ups, what is going through his mind when he's in the ring, a very in-depth look at Strychnine of the Hate Junkies. Coming up here at the end of the first hour, we're going to continue with Strychnine here for just a few more moments, then we'll wrap up this edition. We do apologize for some of the hiccups we've had in this broadcast. But outside forces to blame, trying to take the Midnight Black Mass away from you. But we're not going to let that happen. No, we're not. And unfortunately, we didn't get to the seance this week due to all the issues that we had, but we will promise you that we'll have one next week, and we will reach out and bring the spirits of the dead live here on the air. Strychnine, thank you for continuing to join us, my brother. Let's move along to the topic of music, something you and I wax about constantly in the locker room. I have many likes. I have a lot of differences, too, that are mutual and some different. But what is currently in your CD player, MP3 player? What are you spinning? What's getting you hyped up to go whip somebody's ass?
The new Wednesday 13 album, Calling All Corpses. Most people don't know Wednesday. He was, by himself, he was mainly known as just being the singer for Murder Doll, the side project from the guys from Slipknot. The drummer is Joey, his side project. And Wednesday, I figured I'd kick my birthday off right. Some buddies of mine, we took a road trip up to Charlotte. So, well, it was midnight, the actual midnight that turned it to November the 4th. I was at the show and fucking rocking out and kicking people's asses in the mosh pit. Fucking, and the new Wednesday 13 album's badass. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek horror punk. He's got songs about wanting to be cremated and digging up dead bodies and zombies and Satan and all that good stuff, but it's meant to be kind of tongue-in-cheek. But it's really badass shit. It's kind of a, you know, it's kind of got an old-school take on it. You know, some of it's very punkish, but he's also got blaring lead guitar, as much as that's one thing that you and I agree on. A good lead guitar is things that people miss these days, and the new record just makes me happy. Again, fucking guitars will rip your ass in half, and getting to sing about zombies. What else can you want?
It sounds like a winning combination to me. I haven't really checked those guys out. It's hard to get me to turn my ears on to newer bands sometimes. Not that I'm the jaded old fart, but certainly I'm set in my ways. But I do, of course, for this show in particular, I've had to cover quite a bit of newer music as we've done this over the last few months. So maybe I will get around to checking out some Wednesday 13. Any other cuts that you might want to plug just because they make you feel good?
I'm sorry, repeat the last thing you just said.
Oh, I said any other albums you want to talk about?
Just go and I've been reacquiring old shit that like fucking it's essential to have. I have a certain belief that certain people should always have like a copy of Blizzard of Oz on hand, and I didn't have a physical CD of it. And then the other day I just bought a fucking Motley Crue album that was like the Decade of Decadence. And you can never go along with Motley Crue. And
oh, no. No, I saw the crew this past summer, and, man, still at their age, putting on one hell of a live gig. And really one of the best concerts I'd seen. Vince Neil's vocal performance was fucking terrible, but it didn't matter. They had charisma, they had presence, they had energy. They still had that fuck you attitude that is so important in the world of rock and roll, baby.
Oh, yeah, because rock and roll, that's what it's all about. Because, I mean, let's think about it. We were talking about Van Halen the other day, okay? Van Halen are awesome, but they, the band understood that they had to cover with showmanship the fact that David Lee Roth can't fucking sing. He's not a good singer, in my opinion, but he had all the charisma, all the showmanship, and all the balls that he needed to put himself and the band over in a showmanship manner. So it's one of them things, like, you know, you gotta love the good front man, guys like David Lee Roth, Marilyn Manson, fucking Robert Plant, who, they define themselves in fronting a band.
And you know what, you talk about the lack of a guitar player in music, but fucking, I mean, there's a lot of great studio musicians that can shred, that, you know, play shitty little rock songs that they put out there, but where are the fucking front men? In this day and age, I mean, they're all but gone. The best frontmen in the music industry are still the same guys that have been the best frontmen for the last 30 years, you know?
Yeah, a lot of new bands, they, I don't know, it's, I guess some of them are trying to get away from the rock star thing, but I'm sorry, we kind of need that. I think every now and then you need a good fucking rock star. When you look at that guy, you know, he's the real fucking deal. He doesn't fucking care, and he's a badass. And like I said, yeah, I'd say, you know, the best front man working of, you know, of my generation is probably Marilyn Manson. And because that fucker knew how to entertain a crowd. He knew how to be bigger than life in every way, shape, and form, where you almost kind of don't believe he's a person. And it's a lost art.
Yeah, it really is. I would agree with that. You know, my experience with Manson was actually back to the eighth grade when Portrait of an American Family came out. I saw them on Headbangers Ball, and it was the entire band at that time before it became so more exclusively about Marilyn. But so, you know, you had Twiggy Ramirez, Madonna, Wayne Gacy, and all these weird-looking fuckers, and Ricky Ragman's interviewing them, and Twiggy's got this tape recorder of these, like, back mass satanic verses, and he's just, you know, plays it, and it's got that, and, like, pigs squealing and shit on it, and just, he'll interrupt their conversation and just play this fucking tape with those dead fucking eyes and wearing a dress, you know, and I just thought, this is the weirdest shit I've ever seen. So I picked up that album. I loved it. Being a high school kid when Antichrist Superstar came out, I kind of turned on them because, you know, it was such a mainstream success. And, you know, now that I'm old, I can appreciate things like that. But, you know, when you're 16 and you fucking hate the world and, you know, you're like, oh, man, people like this. Fuck that.
Which is kind of like when Mechanical Animals came out. A lot of people didn't see the art. And they just saw that he had a number one album, and that's not cool, apparently. It's not cool to make money in music. But if you make money doing your own thing, then you have my respect. But if you're a little bitch fuck like Fred Durst and go, okay, people want to hear rap, so I'm going to rap because I'll sell if I rap. Fuck that. I don't even like the word
sell. What you want to say about Manson, he was doing his own thing.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. And like I said, I haven't seen anything else come along that's just grabbed my attention quite like that. And, you know, that was the first concert I ever went to. I was like 14 years old, and I thought maybe literally I was going to die because I was a little kind of a sheltered child, and I was really, really small. And I went to the International Ballroom in Atlanta, and I ended up getting a fucking blowjob from some girl who had his neck carved in her chest. I'm like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done in my life, but I think I might die. And it was a fucking ridiculous experience. And like I said, it changed my life. I mean, the course my life has taken has greatly been altered by music and things like that, because it is important. And granted, you don't need to base your whole fucking life around it, but damn it.
You shouldn't be the guy that says Judas Priest told me to shoot myself in the face with a shotgun, because then you would be a fucking moron. You know, I feel bad for those two kids that blew their heads off, but, you know, come
you
on,
chose
get a
trigger,
fucking
buddy.
Life. Yeah, get a fucking life, man. There was nobody, as the old Bill Hicks routine goes, we weren't exactly losing two rocket scientists by that incident, you know. So certainly don't go out and kill yourself because a song's about suicide that you just totally misinterpreted like an idiot. But in the same respect, music to me is food for the soul, man. I mean, it helps get me through a bad time. It helps get me ready for a good time. It helps me wind down from a wild time. It is 365-day-a-year, 24-hour part of my life.
Oh, of course. I mean, what is life without music? And you also have to have a variety in the grand scheme of the world because, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, everything isn't for everyone. Like, I have no desire to listen to, like, country music, but I understand it has a niche for certain people. It speaks to them. It don't speak to me, but to those who enjoy it, by all means, more power to you. But,
yeah, absolutely. Well, you might be more into the this newer wave of country music that has come out because, you know, I don't really like country as it's known, but I'm a huge fan of the great all-time legends of that genre. And also, there's by a man we heard earlier in the show, actually, with his cover of Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke, and a former guest here on the Midnight Black Mass, the son of Hank Williams Jr., the grandson of Hank Williams III, has really spawned a whole new movement of punk, country metal, kind of in its own little bubble coming together and creating what he calls a hellbilly sound. And it might be something that speaks to you if you check it out. Just a recommendation I'd throw out there for you.
Yeah, I mean, everything, and of course, sometimes you have those oddball things where you can't really even explain why you enjoy it so much because it's kind of out of what your norm is. Like, the one I kind of get some shit here or there from is I'm a big fan of AFI, and that's the kind of the one that people look at me funny for. It's just I enjoy it, and I don't think it really requires much explanation, but it's just one of those things. But music is very important, and to anybody who doesn't think music is important, just watch TV for a minute. Every commercial's got a soundtrack. Every TV show, there's a score. It's meant to bring forth an emotion of some sort, and that's its gift more than anything else. But again, the problem a lot of teenage kids have is wanting to be a clone of who they appreciate. And some of the worst perpetrators of this are juggalos. Not going to lie to you on that one. Because, oh my lord. But, because like the whole thing of, and I will guarantee, down south, I don't think anybody would drink Faygo if it wasn't for them too. Because no one knows what the fuck it is to seek that, you know, the cheap soda that they talk about in their music all the time. The shit's made in Detroit.
Yeah, oh, I know. Yeah, and that was the first place I'd heard of it. And you know, not to get back on this whole Juggalo kick again, but, I mean, what the fuck not? It's my show. We'll do whatever we want. The first time that I ever heard of Faygo was through former NWA Wildside wrestler, who's now a very successful radio producer for the National Hockey League, White Trash. You might remember him, the huge Juggalo back in the day. Yep. And he introduced me to that, and that's the way it was through the ICP that I knew what Faygo was, absolutely.
Well, vicariously, I got introduced to ICP because of wrestling. A buddy of mine, still one of my best friend today, he showed me a tape of ECW where they were on ECW. And that was the first time I'd ever heard of them. And then I looked the music up and I thought, man, this shit is crazy and retarded and entertaining. Because people want to argue with me about their musicianship, which is none. They're not talented musicians, but what they do is very entertaining to a certain group of people. But, yeah, it all kind of lumped together because like, it was because of wrestling that I found out about them, straight up. Because it's not like their fucking videos are getting played on TV. You're not going to hear it on the radio. You actually have to seek it out to hear it.
Yeah, and that's one thing I respect about those guys is that they built their shit from the ground up. I mean, that was all hustling and beating the streets. You know, these guys didn't have any kind of mainstream support, and they reached a certain type of kids that really got to them, and now they've become millionaires because of it. And, hey, that's the motherfucking American dream, folks.
Yeah, and I ain't going to fucking knock on radio and TV because if it wasn't for radio and TV, I wouldn't have had the pleasure of discovering shit like Pantera, which is like the best music fuck ever. And because I heard them on the radio first. The underground beatniks who are who apparently if more than five people have heard of it, they think it sucks, fuck them. Because, again, music's got to get out there somehow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm trying to remember. I want to say it was like Paul McCartney or maybe not somebody like that big, but there's a quote out there from a legendary musician of some ilk anyway that asked him a question like, you know, what you know, when I ask kid what's their favorite band, and the kid says, well, somebody you probably never heard of, they're like, well, damn, I feel sorry for them, you know, because if nobody's ever heard of them, they're not going to make any money to make another album.
Yeah, no shit. I've seen indie bands and heard of the god-awful atrocity that is College Radio. I've thought to myself, well, they're underground for a reason. It's because they're fucking horrible. No one will ever pay to listen to this trash.
And then on the other hand, there's the all-time great musicians, in my opinion. There's a lot of them out there that just get overlooked because of the... So it does work both ways, but it's not a mutually... it's not a mutual combination. It can be exclusive in terms of you can be successful and be fucking awesome, or you can suck and be successful as well because the right machine got behind you, and you can also be poor doing the same thing. Really
right
more of what you put
behind
into
you.
It.
Be successful just because the right machine behind you. Oh, Nickelback.
or any band that they play on modern rock radio, really. I mean, you know, they try to pass themselves off as edgy. Modern rock radio sucks. 20 cocks, man. Modern rock radio is the worst. I just can't stand the music they play. You know, like, give me the classic rock. At least they're still playing some hair metal or something that's got some kick to it. This new shit, Nickelback, and God, it makes me want to vomit.
Yeah, well, I mean, the bad part is the unfortunate reality is it's a business. And so they've got to cater to their advertisers who are paying them to get the licensing fees to pay this shit to play it. And I think no one wants to take a risk on something that's legitimately good. Because we all know there's a difference between what's really good and what will sell. Because you market basically anything, right? And someone will buy it. That's the only reason that Kanye West guy has a fucking career. Marketing. But there is a lot of really good talent that is overlooked because the right corporation or machine, I don't want to sound like a hippie, but the right somebody with a pocketbook is not behind them. And it's an unfortunate truth.
Hey, it's the way of the world. It's just the curl of the burl.
Yep.
But hey, we've talked about wrestling in the ring, what you got going on. We've talked about juggalos. Going back to the world of professional wrestling, but in completely non-mechanical sense, the art of the rib is something that I really feel is a lost art today, and why each professional wrestling guest we have on this show, I've decided I wanted to discuss a good rib story or something that you could enlighten us to take the fans of the Midnight Black Mass in on an exclusive backstage pass to where someone perhaps got a little humiliated with a rib that you found entertaining.
I gotta think about this one. I've pulled a lot of just stupid shit on people, but as far as like a legit rib, I gotta think about that one. Because now, like, I'm pretty much known as like one of the big pranksters around here at APW. Like, over the course of the summer, I was messing with everybody who was wearing spandex with ice down their pants, just randomly. And they'd be talking, and then I'd have a handful of ice down their fucking ass crack. And this one guy, he's a fucking warrior. I gotta give him credit. He's a Shane Hexon. I caught him with a whole handful of ice and put it down the front of his pants, and he stood there like frozen and couldn't speak. Apparently his nuts were all the way up in his fucking stomach. But I don't know. You know, he literally just stood there going, because yeah, his diaphragm was what was feeling the underside of his balls. He took it like a champ, and I know he's going to get me someday, and I'm going to deserve it because I'm a bastard. But I don't know exactly. I'm bad about fucking with people, like in matches when people are trying to come up and mean mug me. Like, I told Tommy Daniels that he looked like Ken Shamrock if he got thrown in the dryer in the middle of the ring. He was. let me see. Fucking, I don't know. I've been known to just screw with people all the time because it's a fine art. And but I don't think anybody has really gotten any really nice.
Yeah, it really is a fine art. And you know, there's a fine line, as you could say, because you don't want to be too mean spirited about it. You know, I'm not cool with destroying other people's property unless they really, you know, fucked your mother somehow. But you know, just things that you use to introduce guys to the Brotherhood that are good natured, that are just testing new guys to see what they're made of. that's what it's all about. So, you know, I'm a big fan of the Art of the Rib as well, and we're going to continue to have weekly rib stories here on the Midnight Black Mass when we have wrestling guests. Of course, we're not always going to have wrestling guests. We've got guests from all different walks of entertainment lined up, but, you know, if a good rib comes to mind before the end of the episode, be sure to tell the story. But, Moot, now you've actually got a pretty legendary reputation, Strick, for being one of the biggest female conquistadors in all of locker rooms. Your exploits are pretty legendary, and it's funny because all you jacked up musclehead motherfuckers out there who go, you know, fucking spending 20 hours at the gym a day and you're fucking shooting up the steroids and, oh, you're going out to the clubs and you're buying these horse drinks. This guy, Strychnine, who you call a smelly freak, you know, guy, he's bedded more women than you or your buddies combined, I promise you.
there's probably really only one person in legitimately that I think has actually got me beaten that, and that's Slim J. I think he's got me beat.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna bullshit
you. He had that spot for quite a while. But I mean, you know, your story is all the much more remarkable because you beat the odds. You're not the guy that you look of all the guys in the locker room. You see all these muscle bound dudes, you see the 7-footers, you see the fat guys, you see the skinny guys, you see the young little young boy looking guys, and then you see the fucking freaks like us. And it's you who holds the crown, and that's pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah, I never quite understood it, and I don't think it's worth questioning. I'm just going to go with it. Like, it's
hey,
just something.
The spirits of the universe have given you a gift, my friend. Use it.
Yeah, I'm not going to question it. Because, like, I was talking to somebody, because it's always interesting. I tell people, like, well, what's the fastest time you've gone from completely strangers to penetration? And my record was 20 minutes, and it was at Ozfest 1 year. I met this bitch, and I can't remember how it came about. I was sitting at the lawn on Lakewood, and she's laying back. I had my hand on her stomach, and I say, fuck it. Just take the plunge, stick my fucking hand, like, you know, knuckle deep in her. And like, and this is broad daylight. And she's like, turns up, and she starts blowing me. And people are either A, disgusted, or be cheering me on, and it's like, hey, what are you gonna do? You don't have to watch me get blown, but if you want to, then there is no shame in this white man's game. So I had a threesome in an open room with people around, and I was getting, like, again, getting cheered on. Probably the best story, the one that most people have don't really have a comeback for, is I was the only guy in a 4-way once. That was fun.
And only you.
And I picked them all up at a gay bar. And I picked them all up at a gay bar, actually, because I had a friend who worked the door there, and I'd just go to hang out with her. And this is when I was actually underage to be in clubs. I was only 17. And I met these three chicks, and people always like, hey, well, how do you know they were born girls? Well, if they were born guys, their surgeon did such a good job that I don't care. But, yeah, an evening with me and three chicks is, I can't complain about this. It'll only, because it's all about the interesting retelling of stories. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's more than winning the belt, as they say. I think that's like a Hall of Fame nomination.
I banged a set of twins once, and I thought this was either going to be the coolest thing ever, and I'd tell it again, or I would either keep the story to myself, depending on how it worked, and never tell anybody, because I draw the line at incest. My one thing was I thought I was talking to the same bitch for days, and this is back when I was in school, and this makes me feel like a real dirtbag, because their names didn't even rhyme, like some twins do. Their names were fucking Laura and Stephanie. Not even close. I thought I was talking to the same bitch for days, and I finally see them together. I'm like, oh, shit. All right, which one of you have been talking to, and which one of you is mad at me? They're like, well, we've decided we can share, and I literally felt like the heavens open up, and I felt like the, And so I walked from, these people I was staying with, I was in the subdivision, so I had to walk to the next subdivision over to their house, and the whole time I'm going there, goes, all right, I draw the line in incest. I draw the line in incest. If one of them starts touching the other one in a weird way, I'm going to fucking get my shit. I'm going home. Fuck it. And luckily that didn't happen, so I can retell this story. And, yeah, I banged a set of chicks, and it was fucking awesome. And, yay!
Yeah, that's also pretty legendary. I don't know if there's too many guys in the locker rooms around here that can beat those stories. And, you know, of course, the guys that will come back at you are like, what, man, he's just shacking up with all these dirtbag fat chicks, like the fucking Hardy Boys and shit. And, I've seen some of your evidence over the years, and, you know, you're pulling down a pretty top-shelf stuff, so, you know, your haters can just go fuck off.
Yeah, Danny brags on me for this. He's we're in the TNT locker room, and he says loudly, he's like, I will put money, all the money right now, I will guarantee that Strick has had more pussy than anybody in this room. And he said, I'll also guarantee that I have the hottest wife, and I'll put money on that, because Danny's wife is fucking hot. So, it's funny. He brags on me, and it makes me laugh. And considering we used to not be friends, son of a bitch.
That's a true tag team through and through, my brother.
Yeah. Like, then, of course, there's like, all I'll tell about, I fucked this chick in the ass, but we were like in the woods. So I was like, hey, baby, put your hands on this tree. And that was fun and odd. She was a little bit shorter than me, so I kind of had to, like, stand all spread-legged, all squatted down and shit. So, but, again, the ends justify the means.
Oh, man. Well, tremendously entertaining stuff, man. I appreciate you coming on the show and taking your time here on your birthday to talk about your life, your opinions, your experiences, and entertain our guests. Any closing remarks, comments, plugs, stories, anything else you got on your chest for the evening, my man?
Off the top of my head, not really. Fucking, I would be more than happy to come back and chill with you again on your lovely midnight program. For the time being, shit, I got nothing. My today's been probably one of the most bitching birthdays I've ever had as far as like the actual day of. I usually have my fucking, I have my fucking birthday party. I'll schedule it like a week after or so, which my house parties are ridiculous. I'm like, you know, people running around my house naked, and there's fuckers on my roof and shit being caught on fire and stuff blowing up. Luckily, I live out in the middle of fucking nowhere, so the cops don't bother me. But.
And again, folks, this is a guy that does not drink, does not do drugs. Don't need them, apparently, to have a good time, because you always manage to become the life of the party.
But here's the flip side part of it. The fact that, you know, I've got two kids, widely considered by everyone who knows me is probably like one of the best fathers that they know. And it's, you know, I do all the typical things. You know, I'm very involved in my kids' lives and stuff. I think I hit a home run about the fact that I completely dodged the Justin Bieber Hannah Montana bullet. And my girls, they like Ozzy and fucking like Marilyn Manson. I think I win there.
But
yeah, your girls are awesome, man. I really do enjoy those kids. They crack me up, and I will vouch for that. You know, a lot of people will look at you and say, oh, my God, what kind of guy is that? You know, all of this debauchery and sinfulness that we're speaking of in Much Delight, that all happens on Strychnine's personal time, not during the daddy time. You are a very devoted father and a hell of a guy to those kids. And, you know, anybody else that don't like that can also fuck off.
So, yeah, we got, I think I got to go to take them to Girl Scouts this Sunday, so that's always fun. I have to hang around those stodgy suburbanite women who they just kind of stare at me, but fuck them. Or don't fuck them, because they're the kind that have got, like, I imagine I probably could nail a couple of these broads if I wanted to, but they're the kind that, have gotten used to only having to fuck like once every 6 months, and I'm sorry, my dick's better than that. It deserves quality, goddammit. And
well, the best you can hope for is to line up one that might, you know, be wealthy and then be able to finance your outrageous adventures.
Yeah, but I done learned my lesson a long time about this shit. Why all the rich white girls gotta be crazy? Because I literally, okay, in my opinion, I picture crazy like a ladder. And the bottom rung of the ladder is if you'll, like, sit in a dark room all by yourself and fucking play with raw meat. But the next step up on the ladder is when you'll stay awake and watch somebody else sleep. I have experienced this fucking rung on the goddamn ladder. I never spent the night at her house again. That was fucking scary, okay? I woke up and she's sitting across the room, wide-eyed as hell. Looked like she just snorted a whole 8-ball of goddamn cocaine. But just, again, wide-eyed as hell. I'm like, what are you doing? She went, I'm watching you sleep. And that exact tone of voice, and again, I was fuck scared. And she was rich
as shit. Was there a knife under the bed? Or, you know, have you been poisoned? I would have been checking.
She was the kind that had the knives on the wall as decoration. So, yeah, they were within arm's reach. Again, why the rich white girl's got to be crazy, I have no fucking clue, but it's a goddamn fact. It's in the dictionary. Read it sometime. But,
wow. Well, I think that's a hell of a story to close things out with, man. Again, I can't thank you enough for joining the show, and we'll definitely have you back on sometime. But in the meantime, and that's actually November the 12th. I miscalculated my dates because I do that sometimes, so just deal with it. But that'll be November 12th in WA Anarchy. We will be together for the Falls Count Anywhere match against the Urban Assault Squad, and they ain't got a prayer. Strychnine, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you at NWA Anarchy, brother.
Awesome. See you, Uncle Dan. I'm out.
Okay. It's quite a lengthy edition. We had a few hiccups. We thought we might not have our guest. Technical difficulties abounded in this edition of the Midnight Black Mass, but those unseen forces did not stop me from bringing you the new American gospel and all things on the dark side and the fringe of entertainment here on the Midnight Black Mass. We'll be back next Friday night at the same devil time, same devil channel.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast. A production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.